take over from Moses and to be the leader of the people of God was an awesome responsibility. And Joshua was no doubt struggling, and we'll come back to that in a minute or two, with the thought of what he was called to do, what God was asking of him. This thought of stepping into this position of responsibility and of leadership. What I think we sometimes forget about Joshua is that earlier on from Joshua chapter 1, 40 years before, when they first came out of the land of Egypt, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan to suss out the land, as it were, and to see what the land was like. The 12 spies came back from the promised land. 10 of them said, the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls right up to the sky. And we even saw the Anakites there. That was their report. The people became discouraged and they lost heart, despite the fact that God had said to them, "See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and possess it. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Here were people who were seriously discouraging the people of God. There's the walls are so high. The people are so strong. There's even giants in that land. We can't do it. And I was thinking, you know, it's a bit like, to use a farming analogy, if you think of a slurry tank leaking into a river. These stories come up in the news from time to time. The slurry begins to leak into the river, and soon the fish start turning up dead. Pollution does its work. Well, discouragement does its work as well amongst the people of God. And there are those who talk down the cause of God, and there are those who say, "We can't do it." There are those who say, "The enemies are too strong, it's impossible." And whenever discouragement like that begins to spread, the people start turning up dead. We can't. We can't. We can't. And that's what these people were led to say by the 10 spies who were coming back with this report that the task was impossible. But Joshua and Caleb were the two others. And they said this, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." The 10 were saying, "We can't, they are stronger than we are." But the two were saying, we can do it. The ten of the spies were representing a failure of faith, a failure to take God at his word and to act on the basis of that. But Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it. Yes, we can." But they had to live for the next 40 years in the desert because the discouragement had so spread, the discouragement had so paralyzed the people of God that the people of God were unable to do what God had called them to do. I recently came across a little book by a man called Morrow, and it's entitled Giants in Your Life. And he talks about the giants of guilt, the giants of an inferiority complex, the giant of loneliness, the giant of misunderstanding, the giant of resentment, the giant of jealousy, and he majors on the giant of discouragement. And its offspring, anxiety and fear. And the trouble with giants like these are that they can master our lives. Fear can master your life. It can paralyze you. It can walk all over you. And especially as you seek to serve the Lord, when the call of God goes into your life, so many people say, "We can't." People hear the call of the kingdom. So we've been singing about the kingdom in that last hymn, to yield their lives to Jesus Christ who died for them on the cross. And their answer is, "We can't. We can't. I can't." And yet that call of the kingdom goes out. You're right in one sense, you can't. It is only Christ who can save you, for salvation is of the Lord. And if you're not a Christian tonight, then turn to him, admitting you can't, but that he can save you, and he will. And Christians likewise can be paralyzed by the giant fear and the giant discouragement, and they say to themselves, "This is impossible, this can't be done, this is a job that's beyond me." But here in Joshua, getting back to Joshua chapter 1, we have moved on 40 years. That old generation has died away. And Joshua has now taken over from Moses, and God is telling him to lead the people over the Jordan River into the promised land. A bit like if I was to lead the morning congregation, say, down to the River Ban, and we're not going to use the bridge, and I say, we're going to walk across to the other side. You would say, Richard, we can't. We can't. And you're right, we couldn't. But this call of God to Joshua was to take the people down, and because God was issuing this call, they could cross over, and they did cross over. But Joshua, it seems to me, felt weak. That's why God says, be strong here in verse 9. He felt fearful. That's why God says, be courageous. He felt struck down, paralyzed, do not be discouraged. And then the promise comes, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God just doesn't strike down our fears. He also gives us promises. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I think there's encouragement in that verse 9, because it's as if it says to us, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to feel fearful about the future. It's okay not to feel very strong. And actually, it's okay to feel weak, because Joshua is told, be strong. He felt weak. Sometimes as Christians, we forget that we have human emotions. But God works with us with our human emotions. And Joshua steps forward, or Joshua steps up, or whatever analogy you want to use. He knows that God has said in Deuteronomy 1, see, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and possess it. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There used to be a song years ago that was sung, and it says this, God has said it. I believe it. That settles it. God has said it. I believe it. That settles it. And so Joshua goes forward, believing that God is bigger than any challenge he might face, any enemy that might come his way, and any river that he might have to cross. Let me finish with three things tonight. First of all, the devil is a liar, and the devil will always try to whisper in your ear, you can't. You can't. Jesus said, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies, in John chapter 8. If you think of the prophet Elijah was mastered by giant fear. He thought he was the only true believer left, and no doubt the devil had told him that, and he was terribly discouraged. But God told him, Elijah, there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal in Israel. The devil whispers, you're not good enough, you're too sinful, you're too young, you're too old, you're too ordinary, you're too damaged. But God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You're mine. So the devil is a liar. Secondly, God is bigger than any discouragement or any fear that any giant we may have to face comes against us. Think of David, the young shepherd boy. Facing Goliath. You remember the story of David and Goliath? Goliath was huge. He was a man mountain. He'd been on the weights for years. He was covered in body armor. He was a seasoned army veteran. He was armed to the teeth. David goes out against him, just a slip of a boy. But David said to him, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I come in his name. Everyone else saw Goliath. David saw God. Everyone else saw Goliath. David saw God. And encourage you not to lose your vision of God. Read up on God in the Scriptures. Meet him in prayer and in the Spirit. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is faithful. And he'll never let you down. His love isn't just love. It is great love. It is covenant love. So the devil is a liar, God is bigger than any discouragement, and thirdly, faith is essential for victory. We read about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham didn't know where he was going. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He sold his house. He packed up his belongings. He loaded up his camel, perhaps, or his camels. And the neighbors must have said to him, where are you going, Abraham? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know? God has told me to go. But where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. All I know is that God has called me. I'm answering the call of God. And he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Because Abraham believed that the city of God was worth any sacrifice for. The city of God was worth any pain that you might have to endure, any misunderstanding in life. It was worth it. He trusted God. And Hebrews 11, the message keeps coming across time after time after time again, by faith, by faith, by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So go forward and trust, trusting the Lord, believing in his word, taking him at his word. And no matter what the world says, no matter what giant fear says, or giant discouragement, or whatever giant may be coming against you, take God at his word. And he will not let you down. I finish with the story of the great missionary explorer, David Livingstone. I know going to Portugal for a week or two or Uganda for a week or two is not really the same thing. He spent 16 years of his life in Africa, did David Livingstone. He had three aims. His first aim was evangelization, to evangelize the natives in Africa. Secondly, exploration, to explore the continent and open it up to other missionaries. And thirdly, emancipation, to set the slaves free in Africa. One of the most challenging things that I have read about David Livingstone was this, that when David Livingstone died, he died in prayer on his knees at his bedside. And when his servants went to him the next morning, he was stone cold dead, kneeling at his bedside. No doubt praying for Africa. No doubt praying for his mission. No doubt praying. He couldn't walk, actually. His feet were covered in ulcers. But he could pray. And he was found dead on his knees at his bedside. He did it all in the strength of one text of Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 28, I think Ethan quoted it, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, if God has promised to be with me, I'm going. If God has said he'll be with me, that's good enough for me. And what kept him going was the awareness of God's promised presence. And I encourage you folk, and I encourage all here this evening, to seek from the Lord even a personal verse of Scripture for yourself. It could be that Matthew 28. It could be that Joshua chapter 1. And to take on faith God's word and to act on the basis of God's word. Because God's word is trustworthy and God's character is trustworthy. And God will not let you down. So tonight, I hope that has encouraged you. I hope that gives you a little bit of encouragement to go forward in the Lord. And for all of us, I hope that's encouragement tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the experience of Joshua, how he was fearful, and yet you said to him, do not be afraid. How you gave him the promise, you said to him, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, and you said to through Jesus that he would be with us wherever we go. We thank you for your presence, Lord, with your people. We thank you for your word, that you're faithful, that you're true, and we thank you, Lord, that we can do exploits for you whenever we go forward in faith, like Abraham, like Noah, like so many in the Scriptures, Lord. Help us, we pray, to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. These things we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.